Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Mr. FSP, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics, and that's what we do here. We're going to talk a little fantasy sports and a little politics as it pertains to sports. It's a lot going on in the world of sports today. I was talking or conversing with my cousin about the Manny Pacquiao / Floyd Mayweather impending fight, whether it's going to take place or not. We'll talk about that. But today, I'm joined by my co-host, the one and only, the ATM extraordinaire, the man with all of my money and a master plan. His name is Jerry Taylor. What's up, dog?
Happy anniversary, my man.
Hey, thank you. 10 years married to my wife. She mad as hell at me because she said I don't show no more romance. All I do is fantasy sports and politics and football. So I got to do something. I need some help, ladies and gentlemen. I need some help. I got a surprise tomorrow. Hook me up later on, Jerry. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. How you been?
I've been surviving. I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
I love your Facebook video.
Oh, the collage of the photos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. The young lady, Allison, I can't remember her last name right now, she did an excellent job. She's a photographer, and she's great. She's magnificent.
Okay.
When it comes to that stuff. So if you need some stuff done, you fly her out there to America. She might take care of you. I don't know. But let's get into the show. On this show of FSP, we will cover the NFL playoffs, and who will advance to the Super Bowl. I have my opinion, Jay has his. First, my cousin has some others, so we'll see what happens there. What does Rob Lowe know that Jim Irsay doesn't? We'll hear from Jim Irsay and find out what it is that he's got cooking. He ain't good looking, but we'll find out what he got cooking. Also, on this show, we'll talk about Mr. Westbrook. I forget his name. Is it Byron Westbrook? I don't remember his name.
Who are you trying to refer to?
Westbrook signed a 6-year, $80 million deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, that's I forget his first name. Westbrook.
Yeah, me too.
The point guard?
Yeah. So the question is there a serious problem between he and the Thunder's franchise player, Kevin Durant? And if there is, why was so much money given to this young man? Because the franchise is Kevin Durant. We'll see what happens. Finally, the question has to be asked, is Manny Pacquiao making it difficult to fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. on purpose, or is he trying to get a very big payday? Also, is Mike Brown calling out LeBron James for being sick? They played the game. The Heat won. But I want you to hear what Mike Brown had to say about about LeBron, his former star player. Call in and hang out in our chat room. I'm sure we'll have a live debate and a bunch of topics to talk about. I want to welcome in I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the bookie, the odds maker, the Mr. Everything, Black on the line. What's up, Black? Is that you?
What's going on, man? You're referring to Russell Westbrook?
Yeah,
there
Russell.
You
Russell Westbrook. Yes, I am referring to Russell.
We got Mr. Black live and in color today.
Yeah, he sounds sick as a dog, but hey, it is what it is.
You sick, man?
I got a little chest thing going on, man. Trying to get rid of this mucus.
Mucinex, dude. Mucinex, I'm telling you.
I'm off the Mucinex.
Okay. Well, also, ladies and gentlemen, I have a big announcement before we get any further in the show. You know, this FSP brand is something special. You got to be something special if you're going to be a part of us, right? Starting this Tuesday, we have a brand new show. A brand new show. It's called Compassion Bikini. Totally different than what you normally expect from us. Totally different.
Whoa. Before you go any further, you got to at least say that name twice more because I didn't get it the first time.
Compassion Bikini.
Compassion Bikini?
Yes. Not Bikini, but Duh, as in, or Daikini. Let's say Daikini.
Daikini.
Okay. Okay? And this show is basically an inspirational show. It's done from a yoga perspective. I have a young lady by the name of Kim Fun who has been certified by the Dalai Lama to go ahead and practice her medicine of sorts. So she's going to give a different twist to the FSP brand. It's not the brash talk of Jerry, the ATM. It's not the water cooler chat like you'll get on Thursdays, and it's not the roundtable debate here. But it's something fresh. It's something new. And she's coming on board this Tuesday. So check her out, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She'll be live.
How long is the show?
Hey, it's only 30 minutes.
Okay, 4 to 4:30.
Only a 30-minute show.
On
4
the,
to 4:30.
Is it the same website?
Yes, everything's the same.
Okay.
Everything is the same. This week she's going to have one of my buddies, the Minister of Motivation, Dr. Walter Sims, is coming on and talking to her. And it's about life coaches and experiencing life and relaxing. Meditation is pretty much what Kim does, and she'll talk about that. So get ready for that, ladies and gentlemen. Just a little twist to what we do here at Fantasy Sports and Politics. But let's get into the – well, go ahead.
Before we get into that, you need to at least explain to me, because this is a surprise. I know it's a surprise to Black. How did this program and this person come to you, and how did this come to fruition?
Well, I want to get into the show, but I can do that right now real quick. Okay,
yeah.
As you know, I do the military show,
yeah.
And she did a segment on my military show.
Okay.
Maybe a 3-minute segment, and it opened a lot of doors for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in turn, I wanted to open a door for her and give her an opportunity to speak back to her family and friends and those that are following her back in the States, in Washington State. So.
Okay. Will she be answering questions?
Oh, yes.
Same telephone.
Well, she's going to, this is her first time doing this, so she's going to have to learn how to, you know, finagle the board and stuff like
right.
that.
Sure,
but,
I understand that.
Yeah.
I've been
she's
there.
Be answering
I've
questions.
Been there.
She's going to be answering questions. She's going to be talking to you, to the people. She's going to go through some meditation things. I mean, the lady, she's helped me. She's helped me a lot. So, and she was brash and bold about 9 months ago and came up to me at a military function and said, I would like to do this. Can you help me? And I said, sure. So I gave her a trial, let her see what she could do, and she ended up getting favorable responses. And then it blew up to people wanting to know where was her program or her segment.
Okay.
And, you know, she's a great, great young lady. And we'll see what happens.
The reason I'm asking all these questions is because you piqued my interest. That's why I'm very curious now. So,
every time a lady is involved, your interest is piqued. Come on, man.
Of course. It doesn't have anything to do with that, man. Come on.
Well, she's Asian American, if that helps.
That's not a hindrance. Let me put it that way.
Well, go to Tuesday's show, and you'll see a picture of Kim Fun and the Compassion, and you can read up on what the show's about. But let's get back into this show before we leave.
The next question he's going to ask you is she on your friends list or Facebook?
No, she is not. And she is not that. No, Jerry, no. No, Jerry. No.
See, you always got to take it the wrong way. I'm very interested. It has nothing to do with her gender. I'm very interested in what she has to say because this yoga type of thing. I'm interested. So I just wanted to get some information on how she came about and what she's going to be talking about for one. And she sounds very qualified. So. I'm very interested in hearing what she has to say, and I wanted to find out if it was a call-in program or if she's just talking about certain things. So that's the only reason I'm asking. It has nothing to do with – yeah, okay. It has nothing to do with what you guys think it is. I'm very interested, so –
I got you, Jerry.
Expanding my horizons. I just wanted to find out, that's all.
I want
to find out what's the over-under – or her being on the master plan within a month.
I wouldn't think that bad.
It's 1-1, dude. 1-1. Okay,
no,
listen.
Probably 1-5. How's that?
Listen, at the top of the show, I talked about the Westbrook situation, stuff like that.
Right.
I want to get into it real quick because the football season's coming to an end. Sports teams left. We can talk about that towards the end of the show, and I want to get into Floyd Mayweather because my cousin, you know, he's posting this stuff up on feed and stuff, and I want to get into that too. But here's Mark Stein on the Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant relationship and how this contract might affect it.
Is he the best basketball fit next to Kevin Durant? But again, his willingness to be there, you know, that has to be factored into the equation as well. So obviously he's a dynamic scorer. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of scoring outside of those two guys. Really, Durant, Harden, and Westbrook are the only three recognized scorers this team has. So those guys are close, and I really don't think their relationship was any kind of factor here.
I want winners.
And that's what the Thunder said. They want winners, so they went and they pulled out the checkbook to lock this guy up. All right, Jerry, I know you're a strong opponent, not proponent, but opponent of Russell Westbrook being a part of the Thunder and Kevin Durant as far as their relationship. Talk to the people and let them know about this situation. Let's talk about it.
Well, let me put it this way. What Russell Westbrook, I think, is he's supposed to be a point guard, but he's more in the line of a Allen Iverson type, in my opinion, that he looks for a shot first versus passing. And when you have a prolific scorer like Kevin Durant, in my opinion, you can't be that way mentally on the court. He has a tendency to take shots at inopportune times when the ball should go to Kevin Durant. And you could obviously see on the body language and facial expressions of Kevin Durant and other teammates that is not too happy with Russell Westbrook in certain situations. At times he gets out of control when a point guard, for the most part, is supposed to be in control because he's supposed to be the general of the team and supposed to be distributing the ball. And when it's the opportunity arises, not in opportune times, but when the opportunity arises, he takes his shot. But my idea of a point guard is pass first, set your guys up in where they are most comfortable shooting, and then when you get your points, is you get your points when you can. What Russell Westbrook is not like that. He has a tendency to get out of control. And to say that he's got another contract and a big contract like this is very surprising to me. It must be something that I don't see, and a lot of other people, so-called people, I shouldn't so-called people, but other people see that the coaches and the teammates see differently, that him and Kevin Durant can coexist. They keep saying it's no issue. I got to believe after a while that's like beating a dead horse and it will become an issue. Right now they're young. I don't see these guys coexisting for any length of time. I'm surprised that this happened, but we just have to wait and see until it blows up, because I'm telling you, eventually it's going to blow up, in my opinion.
All right. Well, Black, call from the 301. I want you to hold on. I got to get the comment from my co-host, Black. Black's usually short and sweet, so you won't be on hold much longer. Tell me how you feel about the situation. I know you like KD. KD's a round-the-way dude from the area. Since Jerry brought the issue up of Westbrook and Durant, I know you've looked into it a little more. What do you see, and how do you feel about the signing?
Well, first off, you have two very, very competitive guys on the same team. Things like that are going to happen with guys that blow ups on the court just because of their competitiveness alone. But those guys, they'll tell you both. You interview Russell Westbrook, interview Kevin Durant. They both tell you that there's no issue there. They're both just hungry and they want to win. Sometimes there'll be clashes like that, sometimes there won't be. But I think it's a good family. You want to keep those guys together because that's a dynamic guy and also a dynamic force. Now, if you can add another piece in there, I know Harden is good, but you need something else. I don't know what it is, but you need something else there. Maybe a
center.
Maybe a big that can come in there, not really sit in the paint, but a big that can get up and down with those guys.
Kevin Love type person would do well in there. However, before you go further, Jerry, I got to bring in this call from 301. But,
okay.
I was thinking, could it be like the beginning stages of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan? Because I know at first they didn't get along. And, you know, until the dominant player, which was Jordan, stood up and said, okay, well, look, you do defense, I'll take care of everything else. You know, and I don't know. But let me bring this call in, Jerry, so don't forget your thought. All right?
No, I'm not.
The caller has something to say.
Yep.
Caller from the 301, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
My name is Mikal. M-I-K-I-A-L. And the hosts know why I'm calling here, but I talk
about... I don't know who that is. I just had to put him on mute. They're talking loudly.
Oh, my God. You know what? You know how to get your cousin going, I tell you.
I do. I love my cousin, man. I unmuted him. But I know why you're calling, but we ain't on that. That topic's coming up next. That, Michael, Mikal.
Yeah, when you muted me, I was saying that you know the host knows why I'm calling, but I will comment on Westbrook and KD.
You know
what I'm saying? That's what I said.
Okay, well now say it. What you got?
Oh, I think they're very much. I think these two guys, they're gonna take some time to really get mesh better with each other. Of course, there's these guys have like some strong competitive juices, and I agree with Black. It's gonna take a little bit more time. Yeah, Westbrook is a little ball hog, and he does need to, give off more to Durant. They're gonna have to find some type of way to coexist, because they're gonna be together. Their hitches are tied together, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, 6 years, $80 million says they're gonna be there forever, because the Thunder aren't letting Kevin Durant go worth nothing. They're going to pay that dude whatever he wants.
I just got to laugh because that's what they said about Shaq and Kobe. And you see what happened there. I just got to laugh. These guys are going to coexist. I don't think it's going to happen.
But
there's
going
to be a blow up that's not going. They can't. After the blow up, they're not going to be able to turn around. When you have two strong personalities like this, one of them is not that strong. I mean, he seems like he's a little bit more compliant, but he does want the ball. I'm talking about KD. The other one wants the ball and thinks he should take a shot whenever he sees a shot, because that's basically what I'm seeing out of a supposedly point guard.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to let you go, but see, you want the Kobe Shaq thing.
The difference is
small market, big market. Lakers are world-renowned. Okay?
Players.
You lose Shaq, many people still want to come to L.A. because they know what's there. They know it's not just Kobe. You've got the lifestyle. You've got movies. You've got all these opportunities by being a Laker. Okay? Oklahoma, come on now. I go to University of Oklahoma, but I do it here in Germany. Ain't much there. So they're going to find a way to make that work at least until they find another suitable guard or big man or whatever it is to complement Durant. Westbrook might be on the way out after a couple years with the big contract. Gotcha. But they're going to find a way to make it work because they're the only draw in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but market has nothing to do with it. Players are players. They play. The market has nothing to do with it. Shaq and Kobe, they could be playing in Oklahoma, and the same thing would have happened. They as long as they were successful, they had two dominant A-type personalities playing against each other. And they said sooner or later they can work it out, they can coexist, there's really no problem. Each one knows his role. The same blah, blah, blah that you hear from Oklahoma City, in my opinion. I'm telling you, sooner or later this is going to blow up. It doesn't have anything to do with market. It has to do with just players.
So Jerry, you're the general manager of Oklahoma. Do you trade away Westbrook? You let him go? Really?
That's a good question.
It's a very good question. It's a real good question. It all depends on what I can get for him. It all depends on what I can get for him. He's a young, explosive, very good point guard. But the issue is you have a bigger player who's a lot better than he is, that there may be a conflict. Just like the conflict you had with Shaq and Kobe. One of them had to go, and one of them did go. It was a surprise that Shaq went. But if they can't coexist, they've won several championships. I'm not going to say that KD and Westbrook are going to win championships, but if they're successful up to a certain point and they start clashing up to a certain point, one of those guys has to go. And the big draw in Oklahoma is KD. So that tells me sooner or later Russell Westbrook is gonna go. Unless they can work it out. I don't see how they can work it out because this guy's been playing like this forever. And what's going to change the way he plays? So that's just my opinion.
There's two things I want to respond to what you said. You know, even though we all know the whole Shaq and Kobe deal, but they did get three championships.
That's what, you know, I know that.
They did get three championships. I'm just speaking from, you know, from as a general manager. And another thing you said it depends on what I can get for him.
Exactly.
You're getting something out of him now. You're getting something out of your whole product now. But I just don't see how you could just trade him away. I don't see it. I don't see how you could trade him away. If he does go, just like Shaq left, he would have to leave on his own. He would have to ask for the trade. Or he would have to, you know, his contract had to be. I don't see how you let him go. I don't.
I'm not saying it should happen now. I'm saying sooner or later these two personalities on the court are going to clash up to the point as that's going to disrupt the way these two guys play and the team plays. My point of reference is just what happened with Shaq and Kobe. And
right.
I'm not saying and
no, I'm
it,
with you. No,
you
I'm with you.
Saying? So
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm just saying. How would you resolve it?
Well,
because,
like I said,
Because if you resolve it by getting rid of Westbrook, you're putting your job on the line as a GM.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it depends on what you get back. It depends on what you get back because you still got Kevin Durant. Now, listen,
right.
I don't believe they're going to split, but for argument's sake, let's say they split and they do get rid of Westbrook. Westbrook's an exciting young point guard. A lot of teams need a young point guard, okay? Now, with the contract, that puts him in the stratosphere of, let's say, I'm not saying Steve Nash is worth that type of money. I'm not saying that Chauncey Billups is worth that type of money. But that puts him in elite point guard status, you know?
Okay.
So when he's in elite point guard status, you have people that are willing to pay for that. I don't know who would right now. Maybe they could trade him to Golden State and get Curry out of there. He's a shooting guard, and they can always get another point guard because that's what Westbrook is anyway. He's a shooting guard.
I'm
just saying that that's the case. So,
I'm not advocating it happen now. I'm just surprised that if they sign it with this contract. Because I can see, and I was preaching this last year, and I still keep preaching it, unless he proves me he's different, that I can see problems because he's a shoot-first, pass-second point guard, which is not good, especially when you have such a dynamic player like KD, that you shoot first and pass second. That's a problem. That's a problem with a big-time player.
It is, but AI made it work with very little help. But right now, you got big men that can do the things that AI did back in the day. You know, so I'm not saying that Westbrook can command that type of attention or lead that type of team. But the kid is pretty good.
I mean, that's true. Now, answer me this. I compared him roughly, and that's not saying he's AI, but that he's that type of player. He shoot first and pass second point guard. How many championships has AI won?
Correct.
Yeah, the one
no.
any.
But, I mean, I get what you're saying, Jerry.
We're with you. I'm with you, too. I'm just coming, you know, on that other side, you know, how do you resolve it? And just looking at what would be at stake if you resolve it the way that you're talking about resolving it. That's all.
Well,
you gotta give it time, Jerry. You gotta give it time, man. Before Westbrook arrived.
Right.
Once Westbrook arrived, you started to see those guys kind of mesh. Give it some more time, man. That thing will work out.
That's
get you 30 on any given night. You don't just trade that away. Make it work.
No, you don't.
That's what I was just about to say. You got to give it time to see if it's going to work or not. In my opinion, what I'm seeing, unless he changes his game and tones down his shoot first, second, and pass second game, there's going to be problems. But they're going to give – I know that it's obvious they're going to give it time to see if it's going to work out. If it's not going to work out, then one of them obviously is going
to
have to go. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of people having to go.
Oh, boy.
The decision had LeBron leaving Cleveland going to South Beach. Well, recently, I believe it was on Thursday, the Lakers played the Heat. And LeBron was kind of sick. Here's what Mike Brown had to say about that.
He's a great player. And, I mean, he could be sick, he could be throwing up, he could be doing whatever. He's a great player, and he's going to perform like great players do. So, the flu, the stomach ache, dizziness, however you want to call it, it doesn't affect great players like it does the average human being.
Now, I know you're laughing. This was prior to the game being played. Now, we're going to get into it. Keep your comment for right now. So here's, after the game, because obviously the Heat won the game, here's Derek Fisher on how the Lakers just can't be Kobe.
Try
trying our best to get away from just giving Kobe the ball and expecting him to save us every night. We can win a good amount of games, if not a lot of games, doing it that way. But, you know, winning a championship, beating teams like the Miami Heat on their home court, I don't know if you can just come down and give Kobe the ball and let him go to work.
So, combined with what Mike Brown said, that's why I played the two back-to-back. Derek Fisher just said, as great as Kobe is, pretty much, coming down to the Heat on their home court, he doesn't think you can just give him the ball and have him win the game. Against a man who is sick and who people on this show, and not me, called him Shabron, Heartless, and the Queen of Hearts and stuff like that. Now, Derek Fisher's been in the game for a minute. Derek Fisher's seen a lot. He's played with a lot of people. Kobe Bryant is that beast. We all know that. The Black Mamba, gotcha. But he even said that you can't give Kobe the ball and come down to Miami and, you know, expect him to just beat those guys. So, Michael?
Yeah, well, that looks like the offense that they're running right now, give it to Kobe. I don't see anybody stepping up in L.A. right now.
Well, that's the thing, Black. They're not using Pau Gasol. Metal World Peace, he's a rebound machine. He's not a scorer. He can, but that's not his role. When Lamar Odom was traded away, they traded away the other part of their offense. I mean, what else you got to say on that?
They're not running the triangle. I have no semblance of what they're running out there. But with the pieces they got, whatever they're trying to run, it's just not going to work.
And I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think that I think Derek Fisher's shot wasn't at Kobe. I think it was more so at Mike Brown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a direct shot at him.
That's why I was laughing.
Well, I mean, he wasn't making a shot at Kobe. He was just saying you can't just give Kobe the ball and expect us to win all the time.
Right.
So, yeah,
he's talking to the coach, Mike Brown.
All right. I mean, then let's talk about that, because Mike Brown, you know, he gave LeBron his props. He said he's that type of player, sick or not sick, he's going to perform regardless. You know. So let's talk about Mike Brown's credentials. He's the Lakers coach.
Yeah.
You know, where does he have the the know-how?
He's never been an offensive coach. He comes from Popovich's tree of defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if
mm-hmm.
he even knows how to install an offense.
Nope.
Mike Brown is the transition from Phil Jackson to whoever.
Ever, yeah.
To whoever.
I got you.
Mike Brown is just basically, in my opinion, an interim coach. They got him as basically the sacrificial lamb, going from Phil Jackson, a prolific head coach, to somebody that is pliable to the to the ownership.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson wasn't.
Yeah, so, I agree. Because if they, I don't know. I'm a very firm believer in consistency. So once it looked like they were getting rid of the triangle offense for the Lakers, I knew it was just over. It was just over. I mean, because you had all the parts there to run that offense effectively. You had all the parts. Now you got these parts to run another offense and another defense playing something else, and that's what they look like out there. And I fully agree with Derek Fisher. I mean, you can't just do that. You can't just, you know, give him the ball. This ain't Cleveland. This is the reason why Shebron left. You know, he couldn't do it by himself. That's
right.
Why we call him Shebron.
I think we talked about this last week. I think I had mentioned something like that. Kobe needs help. He just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't give it to Kobe. That's why we were talking about, I think, Bynum as trade bait or something like that last
yeah.
week. So
yeah.
It's obvious, and Derek Fisher, just reiterated what I was saying last week, that Kobe needs help. You can't rely on Kobe scoring 40 points a game, especially when he, and I'll say it again, especially when he's getting an injection in his wrist before every game. That's crazy. You can't. How long is that going to last? He's not a young man in basketball years. He's not a young man. So sooner or later, you're going to break down from doing that because you don't know what kind of damage he's causing every time he takes an injection there, and he's playing basketball every game at a high level.
I missed something, you guys. Maybe you guys can help me out. What was the whole deal with them trading Lamar away? What was that all about?
Well, it was supposed to be initially that was when they were trying to get Chris Paul. Then Lamar, he was offended by that, saying, okay, well, you know, why would they trade me? I don't want to be here, blah, 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 blah. So the training camp opened like a day or so after they attempted to trade him to Chris Paul, and the league canceled the trade. And he was there, you know, getting interviewed and stuff. He's like, well, you know, I'm offended, and you know, I thought I was going to be a Laker for life. And then someone from the Laker camp said that, you know, he did the reality show when he did all this other, he's Hollywood and he's not concentrating. And then he snapped back at him, and next thing you know, he's traded. And then you get Kobe saying, well, I don't think his reality show had anything to do with it. And this, that, and the third, Lamar was a good teammate. He was, you know, we're going to miss him, blah, 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 blah.
That's a whole bunch of rah, rah, rah. The bottom line in that move, it was a salary dump to make a run at Dwight Howard next season.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right now, they got a whole bunch of dysfunction on that team, and Mike Brown's got to deal with it. That's the bottom line in that team. They have a problem of running whatever type of offense Mike Brown wants to run, and because they're so used to running the Phil Jackson triangle.
I see them slipping into it sometimes.
Yeah, and then they're trying to run whatever type of defense he wants to run too. So I see a lot of dysfunction and unhappiness in that team because of the circumstances. And mainly it's because of the ownership and the head-to-head butting of Phil Jackson, because Phil Jackson on that team, in that organization, had a lot of power and didn't basically pay attention to the ownership, especially the and I forget his name, the owner's son. They had a total disdain for each other.
He was doing his sister, dude.
He was smashing his sister.
Come on.
Hey, whatever happened, if my sister's happy, I'm happy. You know?
Okay.
Plain and simple. If she's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, but if I'm paying you, you're supposed to do what I'm telling you to do, Snuff.
Which is not my sister.
Well, let me put it this way. And I know Phil Jackson has a big ego, and apparently the son, I forget it, I can't remember his name right now.
I think he's Jerry Buss Jr.?
Yeah, I think he probably, and he has a big ego. And if you've won as many championships as Phil Jackson, why would you listen to somebody that you probably don't have any respect for anyway? So when they found an opening and they jumped into it and told Phil Jackson, we're not going to renew your contract, or made it uncomfortable for him to be there, so he decided to leave. Now they say, we're going to mold this team in the way we think we should have it. In comes Mike Brown, which was a surprising hire. From it came out of nowhere. Mike Brown to take Phil Jackson's spot. That was totally an ownership move to say, we're in control now, not Phil Jackson.
I didn't look at it that way, but I think you're right on that situation, because it is a stark contrast from what they had before.
Right.
You know, and I'm not a big basketball fan. I follow it. I like my Wizards. I know they suck. They're like 2-2.
Hey.
Upset don't do that,
man. Watch your mouth, man.
Hey, just like if my skin sucked, I'm going to say the same thing.
You know, I'm going to say the same thing. But
when we get to football, I don't know if you heard this or not, but there's something in the wind. But we'll talk about that whenever we get there.
Actually, we're about to get there in the, after this segment.
Okay.
After the next segment, because the next segment is the big question.
Okay.
The big question is this, guys. Is Manny Pacquiao trying to make it difficult to fight Floyd Mayweather Jr., or is he just trying to get paid? Now, the reason why I say this is because the fight date that Floyd has signed a contract with is MGM, the MGM Grand, which
right.
is a 14,000 seat casino slash arena.
He should have never locked in a date.
Well, that's the situation.
45,000 seat arena is being put up. He should have never locked that date.
Well, see, that's the question, because when you look at it, Pac-Man said, "Okay, fine, we'll fight, but just push it back a couple weeks so we can get this 45,000 seat stadium or venue, and it's $30 million extra on top of what is already there that we can, you know, split or do whatever." Now, the issue came about that, okay, Pac-Man's promoter can guarantee him whatever money that is stated, but Floyd's cannot. So
right.
Floyd's response is, well, if Pac-Man can get his stuff guaranteed, it's going to be a 50-50 split. And, you know, he still wants to fight on the 5th, which is a problem because it's not conducive to the most money being made at the door, because the
sure.
fighters get the most money at the door. Not they get pay-per-view sales and they get door money. Everything else goes to the promoters. So at 14,000, you're moving away, freaking almost 31,000 people. 31,000 people will not get in there, and you'll lose a lot of revenue and a lot of money. So I understand that. Not saying he won't fight. He's just saying put it off 2 weeks. And Floyd still does not have to go to jail until June. So my question again, fellas, and I'm going to leave my cousin for last because I know he's going to have a total opposite opinion of everybody else.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Black, Jerry, then Mike.
Hey, first off, this should not even be a 50-50 split for this fight. Mayweather is the only boxer entering this ring with an undefeated record. If Mayweather wants a 60-40, it should be 60-40. With that being said, if it is 60-40, then I agree with Pacquiao. Push the date off so I can get as much money as I can in that 45-seat stadium.
Okay. All right. Jerry?
Well, whether it's 60-40 or 50-50, I mean, that 10% may be a big thing to either fighter. In my opinion, it should be pushed off to the larger venue. One of the bigger issues is how is Mayweather going to get that money guaranteed? His promoter
Correct.
Said he's not going to guarantee the money. Pacquiao's promoter said he would. That's the problem. Pacquiao is willing to fight. He's willing to bring it to this larger arena, which is be a bigger payday. For both fighters,
not just one, but both
fighters. So, just like I put on Facebook, who's going to blink first? Who the heck is going to say whatever they're going to say, and put them in a bad light? More or less, Pacquiao's laid the gauntlet down. Bring it to this venue. We can get more money in this venue. Just put the fight off for 2 weeks. Now it's in Mayweather's court. What you going to do?
And if it's really about money, forget
Well, that's the question. That's what.
Bring it
that's why I had to ask. Black.
Pack in the $100,000.
Exactly.
Let's fight that.
That's my point too, Black. That's my point too. If it's about money,
right.
We're gonna let Mike
Mikal.
But Mikal speak. I call him Mike as my cousin. But we're going to let him speak. But if he can do 100 thousand seats in Dallas, and you know the Taj Mahal in Texas is willing to do anything. They ain't got nothing going on there. Sorry, Black. It's true. They don't. You know, why not move it down there? Why got to be in Vegas? Jerry brought up the issue. Take it to Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying? If money is really the issue, let's do it that way. And if it's a 60-40 split, you got 100,000 seats plus pay-per-view buys. Those boys will be banking. Dude, I go in there and get knocked out for that type of money. I take a real shot from either one of them and get knocked out for that type of money. So, I mean, it leans me to say, okay, hey, Pac-Man, I feel you. If your promoter can guarantee your purse and, you know, Floyd, that he's not going to be in danger of having to stay in jail or whatever the case may be, fine. It's still in Vegas, so you're still generating money for Vegas. That's why the judge let him off, so he can generate money for Vegas. You know, just do it. But then on the other side of it, I'm like, dude, I mean, first it was the blood. You know, then it was the money, you know, the split. Now, you know, he said he'll do 50-50. He just wants to do it at MGM. So now it's all about making more money for the both of you. All right, what is it? So now I bring it to my cousin. Before I bring it to my cousin, I'm going to open the phone line to everybody because this is a hot topic. If you want to call in and you got a thought on this, it's 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And let's chop it up. The floor is yours, Mike.
I don't have that much to say. I really don't. The only thing that I would say is Floyd is the shot caller in this. Period. He is the shot caller in it. If this man has signed a contract, a venue, you know, it's already set, and he put it out there, he done put it on the table, let's fight. It's about the fight now. When I've been on the show before, I've heard from some of you guys, come on, let's get this fight on. You know, and I've heard it from a lot of different people. Okay, now it's all set. Now we got an issue. Now the issue is being brought up about money from Pacquiao. But when Mayweather was bringing it up, he was running. And like you said, hold on. And like you said, it was the blood thing or whatever. Then they straighten all that out to let him be able to, do his little thing for 14 days, you know, so it won't get tracked and all like that. Because we know what he's doing. We all know what he's doing. But
he ain't doing nothing but being clean.
No, he ain't clean, Slim. He ain't clean. He is not clean. But it's all good. Let him go ahead and do that. We done got all that out the way. Now we got a venue and a date set. The man has signed the contract so he can go to the court and say, look, I've already signed this contract for this date, and I need to be out of jail until then because I already got this contract. Judge signed off on that. Now you want to throw something else in the game. Now you want to throw something else in it. You want to talk about the venue now. You want to say, I'm trying to get more money. Really? Come on, Slim. Fight. Just fight.
Yeah,
just sign and fight.
Yeah, but you're talking about over double the amount of the amount of people in the stadium, which is going to increase the amount of money each fighter gets. It's a win-win for each fighter.
But when we were talking,
Floyd's not about money.
Yeah, but when we were talking, when Floyd and them were talking about the money and talking about the split and this and this and that, he was running. It's a big problem.
What was the problem, Mike, then? Mike, that's why I brought it up, because of that exact same reason. I mean, look, I believe Pac-Man's going to win. It probably won't happen, but I believe Pac-Man's going to win. So I look at it like this. In the event I don't, if I'm going to go into a fight, right, and, you know, this is my livelihood, and if I lose this fight, there's really nobody else left for me to fight. I'm talking about Pac-Man now.
Payday.
Yeah, make it the biggest payday possible, because if I don't win, I'm not going to fight him again, because Floyd's going to be like, well, I don't want to fight him. I already proved I can beat him. But on the other hand, if Floyd loses and Pac-Man wins, you know it's going to be another fight. You know. And if that ends in controversy or Mayweather wins, you know it's going to be a third fight. But I feel as though that you are your own promoter. And there's a lawyer for the MMA or in MMA that's trying to unionize fighters in the UFC. But certain things got to take place, and some of these fighters don't want to do it because they know if they join the union, then Zuffa and all those guys are going to have issues and blackball some of these fighters. Got it. But in boxing, there was virtual gaming. I do not have a toll-free number. Sorry. But I'll give you the number. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, the number is 347-637-3220. If you want to call in, I'm sorry. I don't have a toll-free number right now. We should, though. We got to get big. But anyway, in boxing, a ruling was placed, I believe in the early 80s, that the boxer is its own promoter, and in order to generate revenue, you know, they have a little union, they have to be their own type of self-promoter. They can have promoters, but they're self-promoting. So therefore, if you have the opportunity to make money within the sport, you can get your own sponsors, you can go out and do whatever it is you need to do, generate the most money that you can. I don't like the fact that Pac-Man is looking to, okay, push it back to make more money for both parties, because then it does look like he's running. But I understand it from a business standpoint, just like when the difference between the two. No, listen to me. The difference between the two, the difference between Mayweather doing it and Pac-Man doing it, is this. Mayweather said, I'm going to get the most money because I'm the draw. You ain't nobody. That's the difference in the two fighting over money. One says, look, we can do 50-50, we can do 60-40, we can do whatever, but let's make more money. Pac-Man is saying, fine, go ahead, take it. Back then, Floyd was like, you know what, who are you? Just like when Bernard Hopkins was supposed to fight Roy Jones Jr. And the reason why that fight never took place when it was supposed to, when they were still in their prime, was because Roy Jones was doing just Floyd Mayweather was doing. He was like,
yeah, but Roy didn't
money.
Have to fight him. He already beat him.
But that's what I'm saying, though, Mike. That's exactly what I'm saying. That if that were to happen to Pac,
if that was to happen to Pac, why is he worried about it? My point exactly. Why are you worried about it? Because you're gonna get your ass whooped.
No,
why is he worried about it?
I'm saying if
Pacquiao defeats Floyd Mayweather, you're right. It's gonna be other fights. It's gonna be part two, part three, part four. Bob Arum's dream. But if he don't, then you know what's gonna happen. His cash cow is over. It's it. That's it. You know, and Mayweather don't have to fight him no more because he beat him.
Well,
my point exactly.
Mike, I'm not saying you're wrong at all. That's what I'm getting to. If this is an insurance policy for Pac-Man, I'm kind of disappointed, but I understand the business aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? Because
we can sit here and be okay with Pac-Man's insurance policy, but when we talk about anything about like Mayweather putting up something like that, he running.
No, because of the way Mayweather did it. The exact.
Oh
Mayweather,
my God!
No, there's a difference. Mayweather said, Mayweather was like, "Look, you are nobody. I get all the money. You gonna get what I give you." there's a difference because Pac-Man is saying, look, we're going to get more money. We go to this venue, $30 million left out there that not one of them is going to touch because they're not going to do it at a bigger venue. But on the same side, I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you want to fight them, then fight them. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Back in the 80s and 70s, it was about, I want to fight this dude. Granted, the money was nowhere near what it is nowadays. Nowhere near that. But I understand the business aspect of it. Because even Mayweather said it, he's his own business. He it's called Mayweather Productions or Mayweather Entertainment or something like that. If you go on Twitter, he says he works at Mayweather Entertainment or whatever the case may be. So you have to do this for yourself. So if Mayweather needs to make money for himself, Pac-Man does too. But Pac-Man, the difference is Pac-Man is saying, let's make more money at a bigger venue. You're still not in jail. It's still in Vegas, so you're not lying to the judge. Let's just push it off 2 more weeks and make some money. To me, if I'm Floyd Mayweather, I'm like, okay, fine. I ain't had a good fight in so many. What's 2 more weeks gonna hurt?
No. See, that's where you're wrong. That's where you've been in Germany too long. This is what Floyd Mayweather's saying. Exactly what he said before. Who are you? Who are you to tell me that? No, you don't tell me that. You don't tell me that. I signed this, and I done been through all this and this and that with you, and I took this hit from everybody on the street, from some dude that keep running from boxers. I have yet to see him fight a boxer. And when he did fight somebody with some semblance of a boxer, he got his ass whooped. I can't do this. My head is hurting here, Joe. Get mad, Joe, because the joint is right there in your face. It's right there in your face. But you can sit up here and be behind Pacquiao and talk that nonsense, but the truth of the matter is, let's get this fight on. That's what I heard from everyone. I'm just tired of all this nonsense. Let's get the fight on. I don't care what venue it's in.
You're right. But you are absolutely right. Let's get the fight on. Just push it back 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying. So.
Mikal. Now, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense if you got two fighters, two big-time fighters, this is a highly sought-after fight, highly sought-after, one of the most sought-after fights in the last 3 or 4 years at least. And they have a venue that is twice as large and then some than the proposed venue, which is going to benefit, again, like I said, it's going to benefit both sides enormously. Wouldn't you go for that? I don't understand that. Wouldn't you go for that?
It's, you know, on the business side, it makes perfect sense. It does. But this thing has kept going on and on and on and on. You know what I mean? If it's not this, it's this. If it's not the blood, it's this. If it's not the money, it's this. Now we back to the money and the venue and all that kind of carrying on. And after that, it'll be something else. No, everything is set in stone. Signed. That's my point. That's all. The things that you're saying about the venue and stuff, I agree 100%. I can see that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a business major. I get it. It's dollars and cents. But this thing has carried on too long. Way too long. Way too long.
You're right.
And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Pacquiao fans sick of it. We all sick of it. We want to see this fight. My man has signed the joint and put it out there on Twitter and everywhere else. Come sign and fight.
But he signed it where he wanted to fight, though. That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay.
Okay, yeah. He's an undefeated fighter. Yes.
I got that. But it's a catch weight. It's not for nobody's title. It's not for nobody's title. So therefore, because
what difference do I make? What difference do it make whose title it is?
I'm about to tell you. Let's just listen. What I'm saying is that it's at a catch weight. Mayweather signed with MGM because his promotion got some type of deal there. If he gets out of that, he's got to owe money. So I can see why he wants to stay there. I'm actually trying to give him an out here. I'm actually trying to give him an out. Because if he doesn't do it at the MGM, he's going to have to pay the MGM so much money. I don't know how much it is, but so much money because he broke his contract with him to have a fight there, which is going to generate revenue for them and their casinos. I got that. I mean, that's plain and simple. I wouldn't want to get out of it either. But the business side of it, he says he's a businessman. He says he's Money Mayweather. And everything's a business to him. So it makes more sense business-wise. Forget your machismo, your ego.
Really? That's what you're going with? Really?
Listen. To put two weeks down the road, make $30 million of that, you got $30 more million of that, you probably get what? 17, 18, you get the lion's share of it, okay? You pay off the MGM for what you owe them. For
unbelievable.
For not going there, and you still beat his ass.
Unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
No,
you're unbelievable.
I am trying to get the dude out.
Maybe it's the air in Germany. Maybe it's the air out there in Germany. I had to come out there and see what's going on with you. Because, man, you just sounding more like Skip Bayless every time I'm talking to you. Come out there, man.
Wow.
Either come out there and give you some greens that your aunt have made or something. Or somebody. Something's wrong with you. Hold on.
I got a caller from the 506. Let's see who this is and what they got to say. Caller from the 506. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
Gentlemen, actually, a fantastic program. I'm absolutely intrigued with the topics of conversation. You guys do a job well done. I'm actually calling from Canada. And
okay.
you're talking about Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Listen, I really have to make a couple of points right now. The fight is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. They're talking about money. There was a conversation Pretty Boy and Manny Pacquiao had the other night. They were talking about the cut in relation to the bout 50-50. Pacquiao wasn't too happy with that. He's got his own pride as well. But when you talk about Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather, this is an individual that the best I have ever seen in quite some time. His defensive paralysis, his timing, his hand-eye coordination, his weaving, his wobbing, he knows exactly what to do. The question is, in this bout, gentlemen, and make no mistake, this will go down. Once they have the numbers down, they will get it down. The question is, can Floyd Mayweather keep the pace that will be with Pacquiao? Because Pacquiao, he likes to throw him. He likes to dish him. He likes to be very active in the ring, make no mistake. And so we can finally end this talk. These rumors, these so-called experts, if you will, having conversations indicating that Pretty Boy Floyd is afraid of Manny Pacquiao. That is not the case. I can't wait for it to go down so Pretty Boy can shut them up, do his thing, and more importantly, get the win. Your thoughts?
Well, I got a question for you. First, what's your name? Because I like what you just had to say. What's your name?
My name is Josh.
All right, Josh. I kind of agree with you on this. I'm a Pacquiao fan. I think we got two Mayweather fans on the phone right now. But the deal, the deal for me is this, that it won't happen May 5th. I think because the money is so important, as you said, if there were talks about it and it's going to be 50-50, then, oh, yes, by all means, they need to move the venue to the 45-seat arena or open space area so that even, no matter who loses this fight, no matter who it is, they're both paid handsomely. And if it's a good fight, if it's a real good fight, they'll do it again regardless of the outcome. So, I mean, if Floyd can withstand the barrage and the angles that Pac-Man will hit him with, and you know, Floyd peppers him.
You're acting like it's going to be real easy to just touch up Mayweather, man.
No. I'm not saying that because Mayweather uses the clamshell defense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a silly thing. That's a silly type of defense, just like Bernard Hopkins and all those other cats. But he's very quick and elusive. There's a difference between fast and quick. Pacquiao's fast. Mayweather is quick. He's quicker than a hiccup. So what I'm saying is, if Pac-Man can get his hands, his gloves on him, he's going to have to withstand the punishment. Because usually what you see is Pac-Man trying to move at the angles and stuff like that. Uh-uh. In this case, Pac-Man is going to have to be the aggressor to win the fight. He has to be. Otherwise, Mayweather is going to pepper him left and right, and it's going to go to a 10-round fight, and it's going to be, okay, a good defensive fight.
You know what the flaw is in your analysis?
What is it, Mike?
Pacquiao cannot handle counter-punching. He cannot. He has a problem with great or good. No, he has a problem with average counter-punches.
That's a good point.
And he has a problem with average boxers. He is about to step in the ring with a phenomenal boxer. And you know what? I wouldn't even put Floyd Mayweather in my top 25 greatest boxers of all time. But today, he's the best. He is the best, hands down. And if he had a problem with what's the boy's name? The one he just fought. He had a problem with his counterpunch. And he dropped the boy, but couldn't get the boy off. He could not finish him off. Why? Because a boxer knows what to do with that fool. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not going to be that easy. Everything you're talking about is offensive. All of that is going to be negated by Floyd's speed and his ability to have defense and his good counterpunching. It's not going to be that easy for Pacquiao at all.
No, I agree. It's not going to be that easy. But
Pacquiao likes to overwhelm his opponents with a lot of punches. He's very active in the ring. Make no mistake, he throws a lot of punches. But the question is, what is going to happen when Manny Pacquiao is throwing punches on a great defensive fighter that those shots, for the most part, will not be getting through? And you make a good point that these counter punches, how is Manny Pacquiao going to react with these counter punches? And I don't think it's going to be very good.
No, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be pretty.
That's what I'm saying, that, you know, when Pac-Man gets in the ring with them, you know, he's going to have to be the aggressor, but at the same time, Mayweather has a good defense, whereas he can pepper him left and right, get in and out. And it's going to have to be, okay, well, round one goes to Mayweather, round two is going to have to go to Pac-Man in order to stay in the fight. It's going to have to go back and forth. You know, I think that when you look at the totality of the fight, if it becomes a slugfest, Pac-Man is going to win. But if it's a boxing match, Mayweather, he has like a 70% chance better at beating Pac-Man, because Pac-Man, he's a fighter. He's a slugger, but he's more so a fighter who's getting taught how to use the basics and stuff like that. That's what I see. Jerry, what do you got? Because I know Josh is calling us from Canada, and I want you to just – I don't want to run up your bill, my friend, so let me bring a couple of my other co-hosts in. So what do you think, Jerry?
Well, I totally agree. I'm just listening to you guys. I totally agree. I'm a Mayweather fan. I think he's the superior fighter. I can't see. I know Pacquiao is a volume puncher. Mayweather picks his spots and then overwhelms you counterpunching. So that's how I see it. I just want to get this thing going. I want to see the fight.
Well, I mean, everybody wants to see this fight. It's the most talked about thing in boxing. This is the only fight that can take the attention off of MMA right now. The only fight. Because nobody cares about the heavyweights, in my opinion. In my opinion. This is FSP's opinion. Nobody really cares about the heavyweights because the Klitschko brothers, they don't want to fight each other, and they've taken over the division. You know.
They still champions?
Yeah. Oh, we lost our caller from Canada. We lost Josh. I'm sorry, Josh.
Well, let me tell you something. I want this fight to go on, to shut up, especially Pacquiao fights, Pacquiao fans, especially our hosts.
No doubt.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You
Jay, how are you going to trade me like that? You're going to trade me like a wet food stand. Okay.
I can't believe that you think Pacquiao is going
to
beat Mayweather.
I'm a fan of boxing in general. I don't play any particular fan. I just like to see great fights. And this will be a great fight if it ever goes down.
Yeah, I can't believe you think Pacquiao is actually going to beat Mayweather. I can't believe it.
I don't even think that this is going to be a great fight. I really don't.
Gosh.
Wow.
I do not think it's going to be a great fight.
No.
I don't.
No.
Okay.
I think your boy going to get taken to school.
I smell some action.
Oh, I thought you were going to bet no more, Jerry. I thought you promised you would never bet me no more. You know what? Hold on. I'm about to guarantee a Pac-Man win.
Ooh.
I'm just trying to bet me. How much are you trying to bet me, Jerry?
Hey, Jerry, I smell more than action. I smell blood in the water.
Mike, here's the deal. Whenever Jerry bets me, he loses. So once he bets me, you might as well put your money on Pac-Man. You might as well.
Just call me Jaws this time. You actually going to lay some money on Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather? You actually want to do that?
When the fight comes, we gonna do something. Let's put it that way.
If the fight's on May 5th, that's my birthday. If it's not, that's fine also, because all I'm worried about is taking your money. You make it light on yourself, whatever you want to bet.
I want to fight May 18th on my birthday so I can celebrate spending your money again. So, I'm glad we could get that out. I told you, bet me again, dude. You already lost that bet me. You bet me that you would never bet me again, and you just did. So I want to get paid. Anyway, hey, Josh from Canada, I want to thank you for calling in, my friend. You brought a lot of insight from your perspective, and I appreciate that. I could have sworn for a second that was my guy from boxing, the guy that left ESPN, and he's now with HBO. I can't remember. Max, he sounded like Max. Oh, I can't remember his last name.
Speaking of ESPN, I don't know if you guys are Facebook friends of Kavita Shanae, but
well, we know you are.
Well, she had a couple pictures that her agent and I guess she put on the Facebook of her sitting on a set of ESPN.
As what? As a guest or as a host?
Oh, I don't know. So it's got the Sports Center logo back there. She's the only one sitting there. I don't know what's going on, if she's in the process of working a deal out with them, but I don't see why she's in Sports Center's set for no reason.
Because somebody listened to our show and she was on here and they love us. That's why. I want 10% now. I'm going to pull my Floyd Mayweather. I made you. But you look good. Anyway, all right, let's move on to football. And the topic du jour. What the hell does Rob Lowe know that Jim Irsay does not know? So with that being said, I got a soundbite I want to play here. And I believe it's Irsay responding to the Rob Lowe controversy when he tweeted about Peyton Manning retiring from football.
Not to my knowledge. I do not. That was news to me, so I have not heard anything like that. He's rehabbing and trying to get well, and that's kind of where it stands right now, but I haven't heard anything about retirement.
All right, so Rob Lowe goes on to I believe it was David Letterman. No. He was on some show, and the host asked. No, it was Jimmy Kimmel. It was Jimmy Kimmel. I apologize. Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
And, he asked, what do you know about this? How do you know that Peyton Manning's going to retire and so on and so forth? So we talked about this before. Is he going to retire? And the word is, what Black reported like way before mainstream media did, that my dumb owner is going to shell out tons and tons of money to bring him to the Burgundy and Gold, which I hope he does. But let me hear what you guys got to say before we hit to the playoffs.
Who first?
Anybody.
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me. Daniel Snyder is not the first time that he's put out buku money for a named player. If it's a healthy Peyton Manning, it may be a good investment. Just a matter of is Peyton Manning with going to be able to sustain a 16-game season. So I think we had talked about this before. A 16-game season is a long way to go without a decent offensive line. We talked about this on Thursday, didn't we, Black?
Yeah, we sure did. There's no reason in the world for Daniel Snyder to pay a dollar for Peyton Manning to come to Washington. They're talking about damaged goods. I've been to the gym all week. I've talked with a guy who has the same type of injury. He had the surgery. This has been 2 years ago. He still has feeling in the nerves going in and out. You do not want to give up a dollar for that type of situation.
If Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskins signs Peyton Manning to the Washington Redskins, my name is Mikhail, and I'm part of a group called Grown Soul and Real Talk. We will start our own Occupy FedEx Field if they do that. And you can hit us up on Facebook.com/Grown Soul, because I'm going to tell you right now, if they do something dumb like that, oh, my God, I will burn. I will burn every jersey I have in here. Be mad.
Oh, my God. Michael, don't be so temperamental, man. Good God.
No, man, okay. Because that's some stupidness, man. It's just silliness, man. It's just silly.
I got you, Mike.
This dude is done. He's done. If he's smart, he would just retire. I don't even know why he keep carrying it on. I don't. I mean, your last year you had a fantastic year. You got a Super Bowl ring. You know what I mean? We all see how weak the Colts were without you. We get it. We get it, dude. Go on and just, you know, ride off in the sunset with your pops and watch your brother get beat up this weekend.
Oh. Well, that would be something interesting, actually, if he came to the Redskins, both Manning brothers in the same division, seeing each other twice a year. That would be – but you got to remember, Daniel Snyder is a businessman. More so than he is a football
player. He's an idiot, is what he is if he does.
But he knows how to generate revenue, and the Washington Redskins is the second most sought after sports franchise or NFL franchise next to the Dallas Cowboys, and their value is, I believe, the second highest value. So that is
rapidly eroding.
How you really feel?
It is rapidly eroding. There are some diehard Redskin fans, and let me tell you, and they resonate in my age range. Anyone under like 25 or whatever, yo, they think the Redskins a joke.
Yeah.
My kids don't even watch football with me unless the Redskins win it. And for that matter, it'll be like two or three plays. Other than that, they looking at me like, yo, daddy, why you watching them? They suck.
I know.
What I'm saying? And there's a whole generation of them like that. Yo, I'm telling you, that all that you talking about is eroding fast. They talking about how, you know how they had this long ticket list and all this and that. Yo, they out here trying to they marketing like crazy to get people to buy seats.
I know.
And every game be full of whoever team we playing.
I know.
Whoever team we playing.
It's true, especially when we play Pittsburgh there. It's a black and gold stadium instead of anything else. But here's I want to ask one question. I want a yes or no answer from everybody. Then we got to move to the playoffs because we're coming to the end of the show. Does Peyton Manning retire before Indianapolis cuts to March 4th?
No.
Way. Or after they cut him. Because he wants his $28 million. You're right.
So Black, Jerry, then Mike.
No, he doesn't retire, man. He's waiting till Mike before he makes any move.
All right.
No. And it's
Mike.
March 8th. March 8th is the deadline.
March 8th, okay.
Yes.
No.
So Mike.
No. No.
Okay. I say the Ursays keep him regardless and still draft Andrew Luck and then trade him before the sixth week of the NFL season.
I heard he might go to the Jets.
Well, that's the talk because, you know, there's a lot of talk about Sanchez not being the man and how San Antonio Holmes ripped that locker room apart and one of the two won't be back and yada, yada, yada. But I don't think they're going to give up on Sanchez. If they give up on Sanchez, that means Rex Ryan is on his way out the door because that's Rex Ryan's quarterback.
No way.
Okay.
No way. Not. There's no way that Peyton Manning will go. Rex Ryan is going to be there. I understand they drafted him, meaning Sanchez, when Ryan was there. But if they bring in Peyton Manning, Rex Ryan is still going to be the coach. He's not on his way out. There's no way that. And they're going to go back to the basics that they were doing the first 2 years, running the football and passing. It'd be secondary.
They got to find another running back because Sean Green is not the answer.
I can't wait for Michael Roy to win that quarterback job, boy. I can't wait.
Alabama, roll tide.
Well, let me put this one out there before you get to the playoffs. There's a strong undercurrent that your coach likes the backup, and he should because I think he's going to be one of the hottest free agents, especially quarterback, coming out this season. Likes the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers a lot.
Flynn.
Yes.
Flynn. So I think I said it before on this show or one of the other shows about Matt Flynn. He has a lot of upside to him. He just needs to get into a system that's similar to what he's running, and Shanahan does have that in the West Coast offense.
Don't have the talent.
You got to start somewhere.
But see, you know what? I think that would be a good move because he would be an inexpensive, even though it would be a high one, inexpensive free agent that the Skins can bring in. He's better than Rex Grossman. He's better than him. So, and that was just in one game. But against Detroit's vaunted defense.
He's played in a couple other games, and he's done well. He played against New England and almost beat New England the last year or the year before, whatever it was. So he's been in the games before, and he's performed at a pretty high level. So,
but the money, he's not going to command the type of money that a Peyton Manning or anybody else of that ilk would. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that move, just as long as he came in and performed. All we needed was a quarterback that could freaking manage the game.
I'm looking on paper and saying, there's no way I'm going to Washington. Green Bay's offensive line, Washington doesn't. I'm going to cross Washington off of my list.
If Washington paid him the money, which they're apt to do, it could happen, dude.
Two other quarterbacks you want to pay attention to, as far as the Redskins, you want to pay attention to Matt Schaub and Yates. You want to pay attention to what happens there, because
Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub is coming up on a contract year. This next season is a contract year for him, and Yates didn't do too bad. He looked pretty good.
I have talked about Yates before, so yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
you sure
right.
Did.
I had talked about Yates before, so you're absolutely right.
Well, the problem with that is this, and we only got 6 minutes left of live air, so we're going to do the playoffs in overtime. But the problem with that is you have three solid quarterbacks coming out in the draft this year, or four solid quarterbacks coming out in the draft. So if I go with Matt Staub, that means I'm drafting probably my quarterback in the later rounds, and it'll probably be somebody that I can groom. It won't be RG3 or won't be luck or anything like that. We have the number six pick and a couple of other picks to play with. But
okay.
If they were to go after somebody like Matt Schaub or Matt Flynn, that tells me right then and there they're not going to get one of those quarterbacks to develop.
So what's the problem? Let me put it this way. Would you rather have a quarterback that's been in the league and performed at a pretty high level or a quarterback that's a rookie that's coming into to the pros?
No. No, I'm not saying there's a problem there. What I'm saying is that tells me that they're not going to take a shot at one of these two once-in-a-generation quarterbacks.
But supposedly.
I think RG3 is Cam Newton version 2. I really do. And
okay.
I think that he can come in and take charge right away, no matter what team he goes to. Under center, in a shotgun, whatever. I think he can do that.
Be careful here now. Be careful. Just because some of these quarterbacks have come in and performed well doesn't mean every crop of good quarterbacks coming out of college is going to do the same thing.
I think that both of these two guys, Luck and RG3, they both have a foundation that you can build upon. Both of them have that. I don't necessarily think that, you know, it's going to be a plug and play situation, but
right.
If you bring in if the Redskins were intelligent, you know, do something smart, they would trade up to the Rams pick and get RG3 and groom and develop him. You can go ahead and keep Grossman and start him next year and just wait to see how the boy develops. Make him your guy.
Hey, Mikhail, but if you're not able to trade up to get that guy, does a guy like Darren Thomas in the later rounds intrigue you?
I have not seen Darren Thomas.
No, Oregon's quarterback. Hell no. That dude should not have come out. That is the dumbest move ever. He's like a fifth or sixth round draft pick, dude. If you get
really?
In the later rounds.
Because he can't play any other position other than quarterback, and he's not that good at quarterback. He ran away from competition at the sophomore quarterback up there in Oregon, so he said he's going to come to the pros. No. That tells me you're scared, son. You're not ready for the big time. He's Achilles Smith to me. That's who
Ooh.
He is. He's Achilles Smith.
Ooh, that's a hell of an indictment.
I mean, I'm telling you, because the kid, just because Kelly gave a little bit of the playing time to the sophomore quarterback, you know, this year, and he performed pretty well, he got scared that he wouldn't start this upcoming football season. So he came out. He can't be a wide receiver. He can't play defense. All he can do is play quarterback. He's too small to be in the NFL playing quarterback. I'm talking about body-wise. His throwing motion is like Dennis Dixon, except Dixon is a taller, better version. So,
and Dixon's a free agent.
I would take Dixon before I got this other kid. But, look, we got 2 minutes left of live air, and I want to promo some stuff before we go. Again, on Saturdays you have this show, Fantasy Sports and Politics. If we're not live, then we're Memorex, but most times we're live and we have these type of discussions. I want to thank Josh from Canada calling in. I appreciate that. On Sundays we have the Master Plan. I believe he's going to talk about the NFC-AFC championship games leading up to the Super Bowl. And some other stuff.
Last week, for a brief time, Jay King called and was on the program.
Yes, I caught that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good episode, actually, because you had 23 archive listens on that. So you never know who's going to call in for
mm-hmm.
us. And starting this Tuesday, our first show of Compassion Dakini. Again, it's about yoga, spiritual uplifting, and stuff like that. Totally different from what we normally do. Kim Fun, first ever episode, first time ever being on the air live. It's going to do
give
a thing.
Give the time.
At 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Compassion Dakini on Tuesdays. Then on Thursdays, you have Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show, FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My boys, they always hold it down, doing what they do with Jeff, Jerry, and Black, always doing what they do. You never know who's going to stop in. Then my cousin's show, Grown Soul Real Talk, What you got going on in 20 seconds or less, Michael? Okay. 20 seconds or less or up. Anyway.
No, we're going to talk about life and love and things of that nature. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, check us out, Grown Soul and Real Talk. That's facebook.com/grownsoul.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go into overtime. And stick around, because when you check us in the archive, you'll be surprised at who gets picked for the NFC-AFC championships and who we have going to the Super Bowl. We're in overtime right now. Okay, fellas, last week we had some predictions, and none of us picked San Fran except for Jerry, if I'm not mistaken.
Black picked San Fran.
Hey.
Okay, so I knew it was one person out of the group that picked San Fran. And I think that was your upset special, Black.
I had everything but the number. I said 49-4. They did with the 3 points. I told you Vernon Davis would awaken. Vernon Davis had a monster game.
Yeah, 182 yards, two touchdowns. I also said Jimmy Graham would have a good game, too, and he did. So that was the battle of the tight ends in that game. And then you go to the other side. As expected, Bill Belichick, he brought it for Tim Tebow, and Tebow wilted. So, Tebow, no. Even after the game, you know, some of the, his teammates were like, when they asked, should Tebow be the starting quarterback next year? Some of them didn't say yes. They said, well, you know, we'll see what we have next year. And they did the John Elway, as I like to call it. And these were the offensive players making these statements. But the Broncos went down in defeat, and in a very good game with a lot of dropped balls.
Did you see Kuiper's comments? I kind of agree with
no,
Kuiper.
What was Kuiper's comment?
That Tebow needs to lose some of that muscle mass, and he could stand a chance to be a good quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff had mentioned that on one of our programs. I think it was not last week, week before last, that he was too muscular, and he needed to get some more flexibility in it to be able to be a better passer.
It's actually a good comment, because yes, he can run people over with all that bulk and muscle, but maybe he can get his arm a little looser and not try to muscle the ball in there all the time and have a lot of ground balls. I mean, that's a thought. Most quarterbacks aren't really big, stocky guys anyway. They're lanky, and they don't have much arm muscle, but they have a lot of strength in their arm, if that makes sense, in their arm and their shoulder, because you throw from your legs. But anyway, and in a game that I thought was going to be a very good game, which was – you had Baltimore defeating Houston, and Houston shot itself in the foot so many times. Jacoby Ford, I'm surprised he hasn't been cut yet. But they actually could have won that game.
You mean Jacoby Jones?
Jacoby Jones, I'm sorry. Thank you. Because Cam Cameron did what he should not have done. He ran Ray Rice only, like, what, 12 times in the game?
Yeah, something crazy. And I had said last week that it would come between the two quarterbacks, and T.J. Yates surprised me. He imploded, throwing some trying to force the ball to Arian Foster and Kevin Walter. I mean not Arian Foster. Andre Johnson,
Andre
Kevin
Johnson,
Walter, yeah. Threw some very dumb passes. So.
Well, it is what it is, because, you know, he was a rookie quarterback. He took that team a long way compared to what, you know, people thought he could do, being a sixth-round pick.
Uh-huh.
He does have a future.
I still like
Greg
him.
Greg Little didn't make him while he was in North Carolina. He made Greg Little when he was at North Carolina. So that was a good game, but Baltimore takes on New England now, and Ed Reed chirped off, and I guess he's trying to get into his own quarterback's head. And I believe it was on Thursday or Wednesday where Ozzie Newsome got a call from Joe Flacco's neighbor. Apparently Joe Flacco decided to go skateboarding, and he could have hurt himself. So the call goes like this: hey, Ozzie, somebody needs to tell Flacco that we're trying to win here, What does he think he's doing? He's got a playoff game coming. He's skateboarding. Well, Flacco then gets interviewed by, Inside the NFL, and he says that it was the first time he was ever on a skateboard in his life. So he was in his driveway, and he jumped on it, and it went all but 10 feet. And that was the gist of it. But the main point in that whole thing was his thought process, his decision-making. So I want to start off not with the San Fran and New York Giant game. I want to start with the Baltimore-New England game. Cam Cameron, you know, you got to ride that horse. Ray Lewis made the comment, we won our championship by feeding Jamal Anderson. When you got a horse, Jamal, whatever, I can't remember his name. Jamal Lewis, thank you.
Jamal Lewis. Damn, I said Brown.
Jamal Lewis, and when you got a monster, you got to feed him. And you got two monsters back there, Ricky Williams and Ray Rice. Ray Rice being the main monster. You got to feed them until you can't feed them no more, and that will open up the field for Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith and Peter and Dixon. But Cam Cameron does not see that. I don't understand why he does not see that. But if he does see the light and keeps Brady on the sideline, Baltimore goes to another Super Bowl. That's my prediction on that. If he does it and lets Flacco try to prove to the world that he can still throw the ball, I got it. New England's defense is not the best as far as the secondary goes, but your receivers, Anquan's a possession receiver, Torrey is a deep threat. Other than that, you're throwing screens. I want them to run the ball, and if they run the ball, Baltimore goes to the Super Bowl. That's my prediction. I'm going to go Mike, Black, then Jerry.
Yeah, I like Baltimore in this. I really do. I think that Belichick will have Brady, Belichick and Brady will have a good game. However, I do believe that the Baltimore will be able to run the ball effectively, and if they are skillful at managing the clock, they will defeat it. And we will, you know what? And actually, I'll step out there and say we'll have another brother bowl.
I agree. But go ahead. All right. I mean, hey, so you're picking Baltimore in this game, and obviously you're picking San Fran in the next one. But, okay. Go ahead, Black.
I want to pick Baltimore here, but I don't trust Cam Cameron one bit. I don't trust Cam Cameron at all. How do you not run Ray Rice?
I don't know, dude.
Something that's been going on all season. Why does Flacco need to prove anything? You take the field as a team, play as a team. Use all your weapons. I haven't even heard Ed Dixon's name mentioned. Nice outlet tight end. I don't know, man. I'm split on this one. I don't know. Come back to me.
All right, well, check out the point spread and let me know if you got them in the points or against the points. Because I know New England's favorite. I don't know how much they're favored by, though. But all right, Jerry, what you got?
All right, the Texans are a very good defense. Were a very good defense, and they early in the game they could see that Ray Rice wasn't being effective. Even though I still would have tried to run him, so they decided to go the aerial route. And for the most part, Flacco flew through for less than 200 yards. So they were fortunate that T.J. Yates was giving the ball back to him in great field position. That's mainly the reason why Baltimore won that game. But being that as it may, I also like Baltimore in this game. Baltimore is one of the few teams, and there's certain quarterbacks that have problems with certain team defense. And Baltimore seems to have Tom Brady's number. And I do like Baltimore in here. I think they're going to be running the hell out of Ray Rice, which is an easier defense to run against than the Houston Texans.
So I see Cam Cameron running the hell out of Ray Rice, keeping the ball away from Tom Brady, and Joe Flacco loving Torrey Smith against that weak-ass secondary. So Ray Rice running the ball and taking deep shots with Torrey Smith, I see this game. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I like it to be a mid-scoring game, but I do like Baltimore in this game a lot. I think they're going to surprise a few. It wouldn't surprise me because...
Master, do you really believe that that's Cam Cameron's game plan going into the game?
Yes, absolutely. Trust me, absolutely. Ray Rice is going to get the ball at least 25 times in this game. At least. He's going to run the hell out of Ray Rice. That's the formula to keep the ball away from Tom Brady is to run the ball and burn the clock out. If you don't do that, that's just more opportunities for Tom Brady to score. So the least amount of scores, and it's been proven over time. Look what the Giants did against the Buffalo Bills. The same thing. They ran the hell out of the ball, kept the ball away from a high-powered offense. The same formula that's been effective for a long time. They're definitely going to run Ray Rice. He's going to get the ball at least 30 times. Probably 25 times running the ball, and at least 5 times he's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield. At least.
Well, you know, I don't care if they give it to Ray Rice or not, but you better give it to him and or Ricky Williams, because Ricky Williams is a big bowling ball himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can still freaking run the ball and has a burst of speed as well. He can run over their secondary as well. You turn around and you run the ball a total of 40 times. Out of your 62 or 60-something possessions, you run the ball 40 times, and I don't care about the rest. Unless you get behind to the point where you can't run the ball, you run the ball. And you let Ray Rice and that defense, Ray Lewis and that defense do what they do. They'll get you the ball. They might even get a pick six. But as long as you keep them fresh, they'll do for you. And the way to keep them fresh is eating time off the clock on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
All right, Black, before I go to the next game, I need you to give me something.
You guys are trying to convince me to roll with Cam Cameron. I guess I got to roll with Cam Cameron.
All right. So, Black, we're all on Baltimore in this situation. So let's go real quickly. Let's make it as quick as possible, please. New York Giants take on San Fran in San Fran, and the word is rain and soggy, soggy fields. Who does this bode well for? Brandon Jacobs, a 267-pound tailback, or the inconvenient truth, Frank Gore and that triple offensive set of San Francisco? Real quick, let's go down the line. Mike, Black, Jerry, then me, and pick your winner.
San Fran.
Okay.
No
particular reason why?
Giants.
Woo! Black picks the Giants. Why?
The conditions of the field. It's going to be rain. There's going to be a lot of running going on. I just like the Giants. I like the Giants here for some reason. I think Eli Manning is on the mission to pull something.
All right. Jerry.
If he's on a mission, he's going to have to do it himself because San Francisco is going to make you one-dimensional. They will not let you run the ball. They haven't done it all year against anyone. Only one running, rushing touchdown all year against this defense. I like San Fran. They're going to come out physical. Soggy Field, in my opinion, plays for the a team who's used to it, playing on that field. And that's San Francisco. They're playing at home, very comfortable. East Coast, West Coast. Giants coming from the East Coast, going to the West Coast. Giants playing the second game on the road. Usually teams who play the second game on the road don't play as well as they played the first game. Giants on a four-game, I think it's a four-game winning streak. They're due for a letdown. I like San Francisco in this game.
All right. I like San Francisco as well because of this. This secondary surprised me last week versus that New Orleans vaunted offense. It really surprised me. And they get after the quarterback. They can stop the run, and they're pretty daggone good versus the pass. Now, with the soggy field and the bad weather conditions, I know Eli can throw the ball, but does his receivers have the footing? They're not playing on an Astros turf field. It's going to be divots. You're going to make a cut, and you're going to fall. But conversely, a DB will have the same thing because they got a backpedal. But again, they're used to that field and that weather. So they might practice in it. They might have longer cleats. But the caveat is this. If Kevin Gilbride of the New York Giants decides to put Brandon Jacobs back there and let him run against the Smith boys and Patrick Willis, that collision between Patrick Willis and Brandon Jacobs, that will be epic. But if he puts Bradshaw back there and he tries to run on him, Bradshaw's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. And I know Eli's on a mission, but so is Harbaugh. Harbaugh's out to prove that even though he came from the NFC West, which was a weak conference, their record isn't a joke and their gameplay isn't a joke. Alex Smith did a hell of a job beating New Orleans. Hell of a job. So did
and that was from a come behind.
Yep, two late
and the difference is that New Orleans Saints does not have the defensive front that the New York Giants have.
Correct.
The Giants will pin their ear back if they get a lead. Trust me.
I agree, but I don't think they're going to be able to do it because I think they're going to run Frank Gore and those linemen and linebackers aren't going to stand a chance versus that triple tight end set, and this is going to hit them with play action.
Don't discount the pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers, too.
Correct.
Drew Brees is not an easy guy to disrupt and sack. And San Francisco did a pretty good job last week.
I think
Eli Manning's
like
not that not as mobile. So Eli Manning's going to have his hands full back there.
Well, the Smith boys, Justin, and I can't remember the other guy's last name. The rookie.
Alden Smith and Jason Smith.
There you go. Alden and Jason Smith. Those boys are bad. And I saw a stunt or a loop that they ran against Drew Brees, where they brought both those guys on the same side up the same hole, and Patrick Willis buzzed out of there, and all you saw was Drew Brees try to get away, and he could do nothing. He could do nothing. But I'm picking San Fran to win the game and go up to the Harbaugh Bowl, and I think going to have a repeat of the first Harbaugh Bowl. That's my prediction, but I'm putting my money on San Fran. I think they're actually favored. Not sure. I got to look at the spread, but I think San Fran wins this game. Real quick, guys, thank you for coming on and speaking the truth. And we had a lively debate about Pac-Man and Mayweather. It sparked a lot of debate and some people jumping into the chat room. So I want to get some closing comments from everybody real quick. Before we get off the air. So I'm going to start with Mike, Black, Jerry, and then I'm in with myself.
Hello? You listening, cuz? Because I want to tell you something, cuz.
There we go.
I'm coming to Germany. Because I need to give you a pot of green, Slim. Because you sound like Skip Bayless talking about Pacquiao, Slim. I need to come out there and give you some greens.
I'm done. Are you done? That's all I want to know. Are you done?
Nah, if any of you other brothers, you want to, you know, throw in something on for my trip, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you want to give them some sweet potato pie or, you know what I'm saying? Something of some soul for this brother because he out there in Germany tripping.
How about some okra?
Some okra?
Heck no. No.
That's cool.
I'll drop off my hand for your trip, man.
Huh?
I'll drop off some ham hocks before you.
Okay.
Trip.
So yeah, we got greens, ham hocks, and okra.
For a year. I gave up meat for a year, so can't have the neck bones, although I can cook my greens with them. So, you know, it is what it is. But I got my soul. I ain't doing like somebody did last week. I ain't going to say no names. But
you
yeah,
can say
yeah.
my name.
If you can say it right, you can say his name.
Thank you.
Shut up. Get off of his jock. Go ahead, Black.
Oh, man, people. It was a monumental win for the franchise. I know it means nothing in the overall record. I think we're like 2-12, man. But the young guys can get it together, man. The young guys can just play with that type of effort. We'll have something here in Washington to root for. So watch out for my Wizards, man.
The buzzer.
All they need is they need to get John Wall 2 pieces. Give him 2 pieces. He'll be good. All right, Jerry, you're up.
What I got to say is, okay, Thunder, I hope you know what you're doing when you gave that boy that nice big contract. I still see you down the way you made a mistake, and you're going to realize it. But it is what it is right now, and we'll see how it goes from this day forth.
They had to give him matching Durant money, man. That's what it was.
He doesn't have Durant type of skill set, man. He doesn't have Durant type of skill set.
But he's 6'11", that's why I'm sure.
Well, hey, what can I tell you? I mean,
a quality point guard is at a premium, but he's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard and a point guard body, but.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this show is dedicated to my cousin. When I put it together early on in the week, because I updated like I think Tuesday or Wednesday, I said, you know what, I got to talk about this because Michael is going to come on here and cause a problem.
Mikal. There you go.
I called you Michael my entire life. I ain't changing it now. I still love you. But I knew my cousin was going to come on the show and show his butt. And he did. And we got a call from Canada thanks to my cousin. And I appreciate Josh calling in. But the fact of the matter is this. I honestly feel as though that Pacquiao might be running a little bit from Mayweather. But the business side of me, the part that don't eat the collard greens and the sweet potato pie, says Pacquiao's just trying to get paid just in case. So I'll take my Cornish hens, I'll take my pheasant, I'll take my tiramisu, and all that stuff.
Oh, you need some soul food, man. You need some ethnic food, man.
Because I think Pac-Man is gonna pull it out one way or the other. He's gonna pull it out if it goes to decision. If it goes to the decision, I think he'll win because he'll be the aggressor. I think he'll be the aggressor. And on a side note, you guys probably don't care or don't even know about this, but the Ultimate Warrior, former WWF superstar, WWE superstar, was challenged by Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Diesel, a.k.a. Big Sexy, to a MMA match. Okay? All because the Ultimate Warrior has been calling out Hulk Hogan because Hogan talked trash after Randy Savage died. I believe it was $100,000.
That wasn't classy at all, man.
Huh?
I said that wasn't classy at all.
It sure wasn't. And the Ultimate Warrior, he went on YouTube because he has a little show on YouTube, and he talked about how Hulk Hogan wears his extensions, how he and his wife used to have open relationship and every wrestler then quit his wife except for him and Randy Savage. He talked about his daughter. He talked about his son. The bottom line is Kevin Nash stood up and said, look, shut your mouth, you're a liar, da-da-da-da-da. They're going to fight somewhere soon in MMA if the money's
Ultimate
right.
Ultimate Warrior, like 50 years old?
He is 52, 53, I believe, because Hulk Hogan's almost 60. But if you look at the Ultimate Warrior now, he is just as big as he was when he was wrestling. He doesn't have the hair and the face paint, but the dude is cut up. So what I'm saying is this. You can hype up any fight that you want. If people go and pay and see it, make the money off of it. Not too many people want to see Kevin Nash fight the Ultimate Warrior in MMA. But pretty much, I'd say about 70% of the known population wants to see Pac-Man fight Mayweather. They don't care where it is. So Pac-Man, here's my plea to you, my friend. Here's my plea to you. Get your venue that you want. Get your money. But you better beat them. Because if you get your venue and you get your money and you lose, go back to the Philippines and be the senator. Because nobody's going to want to see you fight him again. Especially if you get knocked out. Okay? I love you, Pac. Do your thing, man.
Aww. Oh boy, get out of Pac's jock, man.
I think
that pheasant is affecting your brain and your judgment.
Oh god.
You see,
you see
what I'm talking about.
Whatever.
Exactly
money
what I'm talking about.
Jock boys over here.
You need
oh,
some
god.
Ethnic food, man. You need some ethnic food to get to get your thought process straight.
Dude, if you knew the German people here. They can cook, dog. They know how to season food right, and their food is on time. I'm telling you.
You know what, Jerry? I'm calling the show. I've had enough of this. I'm calling the one that run the house. I need some clarification here.
Oh,
I need some understanding.
Whatever,
oh, my God.
Dude.
I think you've gotten brainwashed. Oh, my God.
Hey, she'll tell you they can cook over here. They can cook, man. I'm telling you. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get out of here. So, Jerry, you know what I need you to do.
Well, from Macau, Black, and myself, and then quite naturally the host, Victor Gardner, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy.